This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the best of the New Day. Feel the power on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first episode of this brand new podcast. New Day. Feel the power.
There's a the.
It's actually the, yeah, it's the new day.
Is that our?
Yeah, yeah, you can't start us off.
Yeah, I can.
Incorrectly. That's
not, well, it's a thing.
I mean, that's supposed to be the introduction
right.
of the podcast.
Yeah.
But, and
yeah, yeah, I mean, you can't begin
that's not how I
with.
It's very, it's,
no, no, that's not, that wasn't my vision
we talked
either.
About it. That was not my business.
When did we talk about it? When did we talk about it?
We talked about doing this podcast thing. And, yeah. You know, we talked about the name and I didn't envision it being like that.
I think you should restart.
Like, I think you should restart.
Restart it. Restart.
Okay, take two. Take two. Take two. Take two. Okay. Ready?
Yeah,
ready?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this brand new podcast, The New Day. Feel the power. It's weird though, because I don't like saying feel the power. That's you.
That's
you. Oh, okay, that's what threw me off.
Then you gotta alley it and I'm open.
Okay, so check it, check it.
Take three.
Oh, wait, what's Kofi gonna do?
What I do every time. I'm going to facilitate with the hands. They can't see it.
Okay.
They know that I'm moving my hands.
Sure, we can only show so much of this on tape.
Yeah.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this brand new podcast. It's called The New Day.
Feel the power.
That's what I'm talking about.
There we
baby.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. Your ooh was weird though. Why'd you your ooh didn't like
your
it
ooh
didn't,
wasn't
it was ooh and then it just cut off partially.
Because I had to cough.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to cough into the microphone.
Take four, man.
Take four for real. Get your ooze right. Clear your throat.
Your ooze right, man.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this brand new podcast. It's titled The New Day.
Feel the power.
Yeah.
That was much better.
Everybody that's listening, thank you, first of all, for downloading this and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, because this is going to be something that we do on a regular basis, and we are glad to have your ears listening to our sweet, sultry voices. I'm Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, a.k.a. host of the greatest YouTube channel of all time, a.k.a. one-third of your boys, the
New Day.
To my left sits...
I am Big E.
Big E or Big E?
Big E.
Big E. You gotta leave that space in there because there's Big E, obviously.
Yes.
May rest in peace.
Rest.
Yeah. Which for some reason Cena decides to put my face on his body on his Instagram every Monday.
Oh, wow.
It's very strange. But yes, as far as superlatives and monikers, I don't know if I have a ton. I'm formerly Biggie Langston.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
That was a thing. Yeah.
I used to be Biggie Langston, but then one day I showed up to work and they said, you don't have a last name anymore. But there's many of us. Yeah. You know, we should have a club, actually.
You should.
Of people who've lost their names.
LNL. Last name's lost.
Right.
LNL.
That's not bad.
You also did lose all that weight. So
you did.
You're still big.
Yeah.
Right.
But you were bigger.
Right. I was.
So then does the name lose anything or like?
It might it, actually. It might
used to be bigger E, yeah. But I'm still big.
I'm still
A-F-E.
Big. Like yeah. I still got you know? It. But I'm not
big. Big A-F-E. A-F-E.
You know what I'm that's saying? Not at all confusing. right. So yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Congrats. And last but not least,
yeah, I am Kofi Kingston. No more, no less.
Okay.
You know.
You said a lot in just two words,
mm-hmm.
Kofi Kingston. That yeah. says it all.
Speaking of E losing his last name, have you ever been in danger of losing Kingston?
I've never. No, I've
oh,
not.
Oh, wow.
I've not.
You could, like Cher, you can just be Kofi.
Yeah. I was in danger of becoming the King of the Ring at one point, which would have been.
In danger?
Well, because then it would have been King Kofi Kingston, which,
yeah.
again, which would not have been a good thing, you know?
Why not?
Well, because of the acronym. Take it from there.
I was like, you want to go down this
you know?
Road?
Yeah.
This
I, know, no, I, mean,
I was like, you
let's just
it
get
up.
Into
I like,
it. I was like, let's get into it, you know?
Right. Okay, okay. So everybody listening to this for the first time, it's not just going to be nonsense the whole time. We actually have a little skeleton, if you will. We have our friend Emilio Sparks helping us out with this. What up, Emilio? Let the people hear you.
Hey, yeah.
Year. What's going on?
Year.
Yeah. That's a very New York thing, in case you didn't know. The year. Yeah. There's no, it's just year, right? There's no P at the end.
Yeah, year.
Not yerp.
Not yerp.
Year.
It's year.
Don't get your mind. Don't get your...
Like right.
I don't know the origins of it. I just know it's a New York thing. So anytime I see somebody that I know in the streets, I'm like, you're, and they go, you're back. And that's it.
Wow. Yeah. Call and response.
Europe?
I like it.
Y-E-R.
Yer.
Or maybe Y-E-R-R-R-R-R. Yeah.
For those of you who know who we are, appreciate you following us. And those of you who don't, we kind of want to go into a backstory of where each of us was before the New Day. So I'm going to let Kofi start that off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess I'll start out. I was at a point in my career, I was always going to be the guy that came out during a match and, you know, happy-go-lucky. I wasn't Jamaican at that time, but I was also a happy-go-lucky guy that would come out.
So
and
just
you know,
Jamaican when you want to be Jamaican. Mm.
Pretty much. I mean,
as a son of a Jamaican, that offends me, actually.
Son of a Jamaican,
well,
yes.
Yeah, when I first came to WWE, that was like what got me noticed was like playing this Jamaican character. Even before I got signed, I had a tryout with, who was there? Simon Dean, who Nova, Mike Bucci was the head of talent relations at the time. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was there at my tryout. Arn Anderson, Tim Horner. Fit Finley was there.
This is when you were at Chaotic.
This is when I was at Chaotic. You know, they'd never seen a Jamaican character, which again, not to toot my own horn, but it's saying a lot when you have all these legends in the room who have never seen something before and you're able to do something that they've never seen. So I got signed based on that. Everyone's mind was blown. Like, oh, Jamaican character, this is great. Like, I remember Johnny Ace when I came to, it was a SummerSlam that same week. It's like, oh, I heard you do a Jamaican gimmick. Whoa. And everyone was like so excited. I'm like, yeah, I just decided to talk like a Jamaican in promo class. And all of a sudden it was a thing, you know? And the reason I did it was because the Damian Marley album had come out. Oh, and at the time, everyone was saying that like to be in WWE, you had to be a character. So I'm trying to think of a character to play. Damian Marley, Welcome to Jamrock comes on. I start singing along with it. I get to the school and then all of a sudden cut a promo on Ric Flair about him stealing my Jamaican beef patty. Eventually I made it to the main roster, had a lot of great moments, you know, title wins. And, you know, for me, this is all that I've ever wanted to do. So to be able to have those accolades was awesome. I was accomplishing my dream, doing everything that I always wanted to do. I thought I was having fun. And then it got to a point where, like, I would be the happy-go-lucky guy that would come out, have a good match, and end up losing. You know, do some high-flying, unique moves, lose the match. And that was my character and persona. So I was getting, like, real bored. You know, just really not fulfilled coming into work. Just, you know, I knew what was going to happen. I didn't really know who I was going to face, but I knew what the match was going to be. And then I was approached by Woods and E one day, and they asked me to join this group. They asked me if I was interested in joining a group of guys who like were disgruntled with their positions with the company. And I was like, 100%. And the thing is that we were going to be bad guys. We were going to be heels. Little vernacular, heels.
Putting the air quotes on them right
those,
now.
Yeah. And I was all about it because I wanted to have a change in my career, number one. And then number two, to be able to use whatever kind of like, I guess, influence or like veteran status that I had to be able to kind of like help you guys out as
give
well.
Give us a rub.
You know, give you the old rub.
Rub on your boys.
If I could.
You want to rub on your boys.
And rub.
Because like,
rub.
You know, like I said, like everybody's had, I've had like great moments and I want like my dream is to have everybody in WWE have like great moments because you always have people who are like here and they're disgruntled with the way things are. And to me, that's so sad because this is supposed to be the best job in the world. Mm-hmm. So anything I can do to like promote that was definitely like my goal. So I was all about it. And then we got into the New Day. Now, I always say like I'm so gracious and fortunate that you guys approached me about doing that. Number one, because of where I was in my career. But more importantly, to meet two guys who I consider to be my brothers. It's amazing that we like crossed paths in that way, because if you didn't have the idea of forming the New Day, we would have been cool, but we wouldn't have had like this. I get like, I'm getting goosebumps, you know, like thinking about it. And I'll probably say that a lot because I'm a goosebumps guy.
Very, very much a goosebumps guy.
Yeah, I'm just always so appreciative of that, to not only have met two guys to where we actually have like actual fun. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like this, when we got together, that's when I knew that the fun, you know, was real.
Yeah.
I love you guys, man.
Oh,
I love y'all, you know?
Love you too.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
E, what you got?
The year was 1986, the day March 1st. Your boy ripped out the womb. Ripped I was out. I took my little two paws.
Macbeth.
And you can't see this. But I ripped through the womb and I jettisoned out. But you want to skip the early years?
No. Well, I mean, whatever you feel is relevant.
Me. Okay. Let's skip to when I was 23, the year 2009. Yeah. So we always, and I know we've told this many times, we do this typically when someone asks about our origin, we tell Kofi's story and Woods' story and how you guys just were so defiant and always told that you were too small and just all these obstacles placed in your way. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great motivational story about never saying quit and pushing through. Mm-hmm. And then I go last typically and I tell the story of being some failed meathead football player loser who strode in with his big popping pecs and said, "Is this where y'all do the wrestling?" And they gave me a job. That's how I went down. That's exactly how I went down. I knew nothing about the business. Sure, I watched as a kid, but I knew nothing. I didn't aspire to do this. I just waltzed in. I waltzed my big pecs in. Yeah, that's it. I need this job y'all got. I need this $500 a week because that's how much it used to be. Yeah, $500 a week. Yeah, that used to get it done. You know, you'd have to find a way to make that work.
But
anyways, yeah, I was very appreciative of the job. It was startling isn't the right word. It's jarring to go from an athletic standpoint previously to now becoming a pro wrestler. And one of the most unsettling parts for me was, how do you deal with being in front of an audience in essentially your underwear and like getting their attention, especially when you know nothing about wrestling, when you're just learning. I love when people ask if you get nervous about performing at WrestleMania. There's so many people. And I think across the board, it's easier for us because it's just a sea of people. Yeah. What's startling is when you're in Stark, Florida, in front of a dozen people and no one knows who you are or cares who you are, and you have to somehow entertain them, and you can hear everyone's separate conversations, and you're suddenly aware that you're half naked, and I kind of got these love handles, and I shouldn't be in trunks right now. So that was my early career. But anyways, I was fortunate enough to finally eventually pick up the business and start to kind of understand things. I got to NXT, and the very first match in Full Sail history that no one will ever see besides the people in that arena was me versus Javier Woods.
What a match. Mm. What a match. Who won that match?
I think it was a three-minute dark match.
Who won that match?
Don't worry about all that.
Who won that match?
No one asked
The people
that.
Won that match.
Yeah, that's right. The people. But that was not a strange episode, but it's interesting to be there for the beginning of NXT and trying to find your footing.
Yeah.
I remember we just did all squash matches for like three hours.
Yeah.
Because you try to get people off the ground and try to figure out who are the stars. But anyways, this is I need to gloss over this, the NXT version.
We'll get into this.
I found the five count, and that worked well for me. I didn't find it. It was given to me and it worked really well. Let's gloss over that.
Job given. Five count given.
New day.
I worked real hard to be here.
You have.
Let's come back to that. But anyways, I spent a good year and a half on the main roster. floundering. And I think it was kind of the across the board with all three of us, we were floundering, I think is the best way to put it. I always felt like all three of us were very talented, but before the New Day, we were doing next to nothing.
Yeah, IC title run.
I had the IC title run, but it didn't really go that well. And then I ran into Wade Barrett, who almost ruined my career because he was this real hot heel at the time, super hot with the
bad news.
I've got some bad news.
And he used to come with that scissor lift. The scissor lift was great.
And the hammer. And I love
Wade. I love Wade, and I miss him. He's great in the locker room, too. But he just would absolutely bury me.
I just remember the boring.
He'd be up in the scissor lift with 30 feet in the air, just berating whoever's in the ring. And then you couldn't do anything because he's so high in the air.
The worst one was a SmackDown with Miz and Brodus.
Oh, my God.
And they're out there just trying. And they're also not really plugged into anything at the time, so no one really cares about this match. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but no one really cared. And they have this short little match. He comes out during the match. And he's just on the scissor lift, heckling them.
Do some of that dancing that you do. Do some of that dancing you do.
Boring.
I'm getting the wrap-up signal anyway. But this is a very long. I love so many elements of this story, but we got to get through it. Anyways, I was floundering at the time, and then the New Day came along. We skipped so much. Let's come back to that. I was getting long-winded.
Oh, okay. So I'll recap. So Kofi, killing it. Tons of title victories, tag team champion, US champion, IC champion, killing it. Everybody loved Kofi. E came on the roster, killing it with Dolph, hammer-fisted AJ Lee in the chest that one time.
Let's move on. Let's talk about that, man.
Talk about
that. That was the worst moment of my career.
He was killing it as IC champ. For me, I came from Georgia, wrestled in the Independents, was in TNA for a little bit, got released from TNA, wrestled at New Japan for like one shot, and then got signed right before I left, so I couldn't stay the whole time. Anyway, I'm in WWE 2010. Everybody's telling me constantly, oh, you got to do something to differentiate yourself. Cause like, we already have a Kofi. We have a Kofi. And so in the story that Kofi was telling, us coming to Kofi was actually one of the harder things for me to do because my whole career tried to separate myself from Kofi because I was always told, okay, we have a high energy black guy. You need to be something completely different. And when I made it to the main roster, I wasn't doing anything. I got put into an angle with Brodus Clay, where I eventually stole his theme music and then the Funkadactyls. And it was just weird because it was kind of like the gimmick had kind of run its course and then they tried to give it to me. But in the backstories of the Funkasaurus, when Bray was given to Brodus, Brodus tried to convince him to give it to me because we'd run these practice matches so they could figure out how he's going to do all these dancing moves. And they made us do them 4 weeks in a row because every time we sent a match, they said, oh, no, Woods is like doing this better than you. Because that was my thing at the time. Right. Yeah. And Brodus is like, well, they give it to him. So long story short, he gets the Funkasaurus thing. Once it runs its course, they go, oh, here, you can have this. And it's like, wait, after you guys milked it for all the money with the merchandise, everything you could do with it in the ring, everything you could do with it backstage, now I get it. Thanks. But legitimately, at the same time, thank you, because it was an opportunity to be on TV in like minutes or money. And then was R-Truth's friend. That's how I debut places. That's how I debuted in TNA as R-Truth's friend.
Yeah, that's right.
I debuted here as R-Truth's friend. So I was doing nothing. We had a handicap match with Rusev where Rusev beat me up before he had the match with Truth. So like literally nothing. And I just got mad. That was the night that I got upset and I went into the writer's room and was like, hey, I want to do like a weird Nation of Domination thing.
What always popped me was, so we all talked. It was supposed to be the new Nation of Domination.
Not when I first brought it to you. That was what I said in the writer's room thing.
Right.
But then that's not the idea that I went with the three of us.
What was it with the three of us?
I thought it was
militant.
It was disgruntled. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like the difference between like us and the Nation was that we weren't promoting any kind of like, you know, racial anything. It was just legitimately being like.
I thought we were kind of dancing around it. We were kind of using thinly veiled.
I was not.
I think it was aggressive. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I can understand there's maybe shades of it because our shade is brown.
Right.
And so people were like, oh man, it's a Nation of Domination. I was like, you never called the Wyatts the Godwins.
Right.
And that's like the same thing.
And then I think when people started trying to like label it, we took it upon ourselves to be like, no, you don't get to tell us what it is.
Exactly.
Right.
We're going to make it into whatever we want it to be, you know, and kind of like took ownership of it that way.
The Nation thing is the first thing that you pitched, but then you got on Twitter a few times and you would just angrily respond to people that dared to think this was the new Nation of Domination.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I said when I like the incarnation.
But they didn't know this.
Exactly. Exactly. If you've only seen what has been presented on this table, this smorgasbord of greatness, and then you're like, oh, Nation.
How dare you make that?
Well, I don't know if it was great at the time.
Well, to me, it was all I had.
Yeah,
it had to be great. It was all I had.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
So I sat and thought about it for a few weeks, and that's when I realized this idea that we had in developmental called the plan. It was the People's Liberation of American Nationalism. It was me, E, Saxton, and Abe Washington. The New Day is kind of an evolved thought of that, but it was essentially people who were not happy with their position in the company and wanted more from themselves and from their job. And so that's when I went and talked to E about it, and we kind of shot a bunch of different things and pre-tapes and kicking back and forth ideas. And that's when it really hit me, like, none of this is really clicking. None of it is really working. And I was like, I think we need a third person for this to actually work. And he's like, who? And I was like, I think we need to get Kofi. For me, like I said, it was like, this is either going to absolutely destroy my career or it's going to be the best thing ever. Yeah. So that's when we went and talked to you, and you were down. And then that's when the hustle started.
Do you remember that conversation? I remember it like yesterday. I was sitting on a crate, you know, and then when you guys came up and you started having the conversation with me, like everything just like kind of clicked. That was what I wanted. That was the change that I was looking for. And, you know, yeah. So yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to like cut you off.
No.
It's got like a flashback of it, like me sitting on that crate and you guys both coming up to me and explaining this whole idea, and then just like, we can make this work, you know?
But so. I remember having a conversation with you, Woods, beforehand. You were all in on Kofi. My only reservation was I thought we needed to be heels for it to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought they will never turn Kofi heel. He's the Ricky Steamboat. It's actually how I think people from The Office described you. He's a babyface his entire career. He's just that, in a good way. Right. And
consummate babyface.
Right. That's how people described you. Right. So that was my reservation. Honestly, to backtrack a little bit, you talked about your handicap match with R-Truth against Rusev. That was Extreme Rules 2014.
Jeez.
And yes. Yeah, it's shocking. And the only reason I remember that is because that was the same night that I dropped the IC title to Wade Barrett. It's wild to me how all the pieces came together separately, because at the time I was told from producers that The Office thought that I was boring. That's something that they wanted me to try. Like at one point, one of the producers told me, hey, can you juggle? Or they legit wanted me to juggle. I suppose have a match and then bust out some juggling.
It's a celebration.
They also asked me if I wanted to do some peck dancing, which it's kind of funny now. Because it's a peck dance just to pop myself.
But at the time, ask you,
no, same thing. Right. Like when we see something in the script, like says, oh, this is the point where they get on the table and dance. I'm not doing this.
How dare you
write in that we dance on a table? So the pieces really aligned for me. And that same day, I was actually told by Road Dogg that, hey, you need to get into pre-tapes and work on some stuff, because it seemed like they like me. But essentially, the message was, we have nothing for you. And you're going to drop the IC title, and you're pretty much on your own. So you need to get in there and just try some stuff. So I remember I got in there with Road Dogg and with Dave Kapoor, and we just tried some stuff. And that was when the preacher voice was born, actually, because I was just throwing different promo styles at the wall. And I was really didn't want to do the preacher voice, because I came up in the church, and I didn't want to be blasphemous or disrespectful. Yeah. But I said, I just got to try something here. And I actually told Road Dogg that, like, hey, I don't want this to be disrespectful by any means, but this is something that I was raised in. This is something I know. But it boggles my mind how we were all in separate places, but also in the same space as far as floundering in our career and knowing that we needed something.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
From having that conversation with Kofi and him accepting doing this with us, things got super, super weird for like 7-8 months. There was a guy who used to work here by the name of Michael Notarali. And so,
oh boy.
Yeah, he's our fourth member. So he was technically my writer, because he was supposed to be in charge of me and my stuff, my transition from NXT to the main roster. Even before I started talking to E about stuff, I'd always talk to him, and I was making vignettes on my own, sending them to him, like, I don't know, maybe like 2 or 3 different characters, like a week it felt like, just making different videos, hoping something would stick, and not really getting any sort of like positive feedback from higher ups on what I was doing. So I was like, okay, well, I'll keep trying something new. But then when I told him about this idea with E and Kofi, everything kind of clicked. and we put all of our chips into that. And so it'd be the four of us constantly at TV, just off in a corner, and people would come by and just like make fun of us for always being together. Like, oh, what are you guys even working on? What are you doing? And then once it kind of came to the formation that, oh, they're trying to start a group, that's when more people started coming and ragging on us. Like, Kofi didn't get dumped on. We got dumped on.
Big Show?
Yeah.
We give credit to Big Show because he was the one person who apologized.
The only one.
Actually, he's the only one who apologized. Big Show said some terrible things to me and Woods and how Kofi is wasting his time with us.
It wasn't even to you. It was to me, but you guys are standing
right there. So, like, and it wasn't a joke, really. And this is a desperate. It's not the time for jokes either. We're all trying to get our careers off the ground. The fact that you would meet so much resistance by trying to better yourself and try to improve your career is wild to me because there was, so, like you said, in so many different facets, from talent to backstage people, there's so many people who, and a lot of it we heard behind it was behind our backs, but thankfully
we have ears everywhere.
Yeah. And I think one of the best, like Mikey's like, you know, still one of my closest friends for sure. And all three of us, we have a very close relationship with. And one of the best things I think with our relationship was understanding the process. Because he was a writer and in the meetings, we got to better understand when to pitch, when to go to talk to Vince, like to get a better temperature of the room. Because that's the one of the things that I wish more talent had a better understanding of is how the creative process works. Because it's such a massive body as far as the creative team is concerned, but there's so many different tiers. They're like the entry-level writers, they're the senior writers, they're producers, and you don't really know who to go to. And oftentimes, you get so much feedback in the meetings that never actually gets to you.
Right.
So I didn't find out that the office thought I was boring, or that I needed something until it was too late in the eyes of the people who mattered as far as booking is concerned. And that's one of the things that I always wish worked better in this machine, is that you had more instant feedback from creative, that you got an opportunity to talk to the decision makers and say, hey, this is where we see a deficit in your character, in your work, or whatever it is, and so that we can all address that. And that's one of the things that was really eye-opening working with Mike.
And like, we're real lucky to have someone like Mike too, because even in terms of like pitching ideas, right? Sometimes an idea can live and die based on the passion that's behind it. Now we pitch all of our own stuff. Mm. But back then, Mike would be pitching something and he would pitch things passionately, where not every writer has that ability. You know, people are intimidated by Vince, or intimidated to like pitch something with confidence, or in the culture of kind of crapping on everything, they'll pitch it with a little bit of a cynicism, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's laughing at us, and you're supposed to be the person who's supposed to like be, you know, lifting your superstar up. And we're so lucky to have had Mike, who believed in us, you know, and pitched things passionately, and then also like when to pitch certain things, or like how you put the, you know, the language that you use around what you pitch it, because you say one red flag word or whatever it is, and all of a sudden the whole thing is done. So just having that insight is so beneficial.
Yeah, one thing that I learned from one of my buddies is that the way that wrestlers pitch stories, the end always is, and then I win the title.
Yeah.
And so always tried to make sure that that was never anything that we ever talked about.
Yeah.
But through this whole process, to be able to sit and formulate these ideas, and it was always something weird. Like, we never, obviously, eventually we did, but I feel like in the beginning, we obviously didn't know what it was going to be or what it was going to grow into. It's always been an evolving thing, even now. So like, Props was talking to me today, they're like, hey, when are you switching off pancakes? I was like, I don't know, something has to happen.
Right.
Like, pancakes just happen, cereal just happen. But even in the vein of finally getting in and talking to Vince and filming those vignettes and showing him.
I always felt, and I think we always felt, that it's a lot easier for him to see this, just to see a 30-second backstage or a promo and see exactly how this could fit onto my show, as opposed to maybe the image that we all have in our head is different than if we're just describing it to him, it might not be the same. Yep. So we spent a lot of time, man. I remember during the period of pitching, I felt like every day we were home, a lot of that time was consumed with texting each other, with emailing each other, which is honestly, I'm so glad we emailed each other, because recently when we decided to talk about all this stuff for the podcast, we forgot. There's so much. We forget this is five years ago.
Yeah. So much, especially the list.
Actually, there's a couple different lists of names, and I think we've compiled them all, and so many that we forgot that we'll eventually get to for the trio. But it always felt like it was just better to show him, this is what this is going to look like, this is what these promos are going to sound like, as opposed to just telling him, hey, these are the ideas, and because it's just so up in the air, and who knows if he sees things differently.
Well, that's a Dusty thing that he would teach us in promo class when we were in FCW, was, so a new horror movie's coming out. I could tell you about it, but you might want to see it after that, but if you watch the trailer, my God, you're going to love it. He's like, make trailers. Yep. It's like, wow. Right. Okay, so that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And we made one called The Problem Solvers, because we're like, well, what can this be? Like, how can this be a babyface thing? And so we were essentially solving people's problems. So like there was a clip where somebody was like smoking a cigarette, he smacked it out of his mouth and gave him a banana instead. So I got to find that and we can.
Yeah, it was real lighthearted. But that was even after we did for a month, several months, I think, of doing the more militant stuff. So we did the militant stuff and then he who shall not be named decided that this is not the direction I want. So he wanted something with some more levity. That's why we went to the problem solvers and did that for a bit.
Everybody that we showed absolutely loved it. Finally, week after week after week after getting in here and doing this, the office told us, sit, wait, we're going to get back to you in a few weeks and we'll have something. So, okay, cool. So a few weeks passes, we get called back into the office and say, okay, we got it. You guys are going to be preachers. And it was like, oh, because when we first came into the meeting, we said, hey, there's three archetypes in wrestling for black wrestlers. You're either the big, strong black guy, which was E. You're either the foreign black guy, which at one time was Kofi, or you're the dancing black guy, which was me. And those are the three characters that black guys and girls have. And we want to make sure that we are none of those because we want to make something new and make sure that kids understand that you can be whatever you want, regardless of shape, color, race, gender, whatever. And then we were told, you guys will be preachers. And we're like, that kind of...
you didn't hear what we said at all.
But to kind of address this point too, we were told we had the meeting. It was just the four of us in a room with he who shall not be named. and we were told, you know, guys, I'm sorry for all the months of the back and forth. I got it. I finally got it. It hit me like a bolt of intuition. This is the idea. And we're all sitting there just because we don't know. We're all sitting there. I got it. You're preachers. You're inspirational speakers.
My God.
Yeah. And then we're all kind of like doing our best to say.
But we're looking at each other like, yeah.
But what can you say when he, because it wasn't, you after pitching with him for a while and talking to him, you have an understanding of when there's some flexibility.
Exactly.
And when maybe there's some push-pull here or when he's like, nope, this is the idea and you better find a way to make this work. Right. So when he told us, I have an idea for vignettes and all that, it was, oh, this idea is not good, but we have an opportunity.
And so to hear that we're preachers, we're like, oh,
this I'll one. Never forget that.
This is going to be harder than we thought.
And that was the point. We had been traveling together for like, you know, every weekend talking on text or whatever, 5 months straight, you know, really had our connection. So we're all sitting there like smiling and nodding at Vince for the opportunity, but we can all hear each other in our heads like, no, this is never going to work. What are you doing? Preachers, no. And we're just smiling and nodding like, yep, we'll take the opportunity, Vince, like the biggest contrast in what was happening.
First, we got music. This music was the oldest. This was horrible. Gospel from the 1730s.
It was
so old and bad and just like, we heard it and like, no, you know what? Maybe we got to listen to it like in the car. So we plugged it into the car, turn the bass up all the way.
Yeah,
like, maybe with headphones on. Put the headphones on, turn the bass up all the way.
I remember that too.
This is not working, not helping. And so I remember this vividly because you guys were doing something and the office wanted to talk to us. And so, but I was the only one available. So they just brought me in and like, hey, what do you think about the music? And I was like, still at the time, it's like, and he's like, what do you think? And I was like, he goes, honest answer. And I was like, this is the worst. He's like, well, what do you mean? What would you guys do? And that's when I pulled up Stomp.
Yeah.
We let him listen to Stomp. Yeah, like, if we're going to do gospel stuff, it's like, it needs to be like this. Like, people like this. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And then what was it, like 2 weeks later, a week later?
Yeah.
We had Jim Johnson chefed
it up. Jim chefed it up. Jim cooked it up.
My
Lord. Five-course meal.
What a human. So we have what is our current music. And so I remember the office going up there and being so excited. Okay, we got the music. We got the music. And it's us four and Road Dogg in there. And as the music comes on, we're like, oh, okay. And then he's tapping his foot.
He's tapping. Dancing. And it's so loud. It was so loud.
I had to bite my bottom lip because I thought it was a joke.
You've never seen Vince McMahon dance like this.
He who shall not be named.
Oh, sorry.
I'm editing.
The guy. You've never seen this man dance like this. You've never seen him. It was incredible. Incredible.
So that was a very good, lighthearted moment. So at that point, we had the music and we're feeling good about it. We went and did the vignettes and we felt pretty good about them because the production value was high on them. We had a bunch of people there. Like, it was fun. It was good.
It was fun. Yeah.
And so sitting at TV, watching them finally be played and then like going on the internet and watching everyone just trash. Not everyone, watching some people just trash. The like, because mine was first.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we could see this. Like, he does dancing stuff. This might actually, like, be something for him. And then they showed yours. They go, oh, no, they're putting E with Woods. He's done. He's done. And then the next week, Kofi's like, no, don't put Kofi with them. We can save so Kofi many still.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I feel like the internet saw me as, like, the anchor just bringing the ship down. Like, this guy hasn't done a thing. He'll never amount to anything. No.
Oh, man.
And so, so finally when we came out, and we got pyro though.
We did get pyro.
Which was a huge win for me.
The sprinkling pyro. Yeah.
That's my favorite pyro. Real deal. That was on my list to scratch off. When we're going through the entrance, we're being told, you got to clap bigger, clap higher, hands higher, jump around.
Micromanagement, just awful.
With these entrances, they're telling us clap higher, you know, jump over here, jump over there.
Unbelievable.
What is happening? Doing? Like, you know, they're not gonna feel the energy if the hands aren't up above your head clapping.
You gotta clap up like this.
And
the people that are telling, I mean, not for nothing, you know, the people that are telling us to like clap and like have rhythm don't really have that much rhythm themselves. With the exception of Road Dogg. Road Dogg got a little rhythm. But at the same time, no one's micro, you know, no one cares how high we clap. Yeah. Don't tell me to like come down and clap and you know what I'm saying? Put my hands way over my head and like, come on, man.
But it was so micromanaged. It was legit. Hey, at this point, I think you should go to the back of the ring. You stand here while you take that corner. It was so micromanaged. Yeah. And then remember when they, I was like, this is bad enough. And then remember they added the mics?
Oh my God. And then we're like, how are we supposed to clap? We got these mics and we're supposed to talk and clap.
So when we were trying to figure out our entrance, we figured out how we want to do our entrance on house shows. So we'd come out, we'd all pose, you know, wrestling pose, go down the ramp, and then whoever wasn't wrestling would stop the other two, and we would do this.
Oh, this is so, so stupid.
Bad. It was spot. What are we doing? It was hot at the time.
I know. Yes.
All of us.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
So let's say I'm not wrestling. We would do this. We get to the end of the ramp and say, do it for the day.
Yeah, I ain't going to do it.
Do it for the day.
I ain't going to do it.
Do it for the day.
I ain't going to do it.
And then turn around and be like,
because that was a vine. What was it? Do it for the
vine.
Do it for the vine. Yeah.
But it just now.
I gotta watch it back.
Don't watch it.
Because there's a picture of us, and you're not wrestling, and you're like about to send us off, and Kofi and I are like running to the ring. It's okay. So we have.
We were
all
trying
that.
Things.
We were.
Yeah, you know, we were.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going back to your point about the house shows and live events, I'm so thankful. For some reason, Hayes agreed 2 months before when we were trying to do the pitching process. I think that's what really made the bond solidify.
100%.
Was the fact that we're going to Kalamazoo and all these little towns we're going to. We're getting time in the car. We always rode together. We're getting time in the car to talk about ideas, to pitch ideas, to talk about new gear, to talk about what we want to wear. This is when we had time during live events beforehand. We'd go out to a store and buy whatever little props we needed to shoot stuff. I think that time was integral because not only did we get to build our chemistry outside of the ring, but we got to build it in the ring too. We got the opportunity to do so many, we just do random tags. So we got to work together a lot and build. So by the time we actually got to November and debuted, we were hitting the ground running. It wasn't us trying to figure out, hey, what do we do here? We got that bonding time. And it's so hard to remember because I remember we got on TV together in July, but we were doing stuff together before then on house shows, right?
Yes.
House shows. I can't even remember. I know it was around May. Where we talked
Extreme Rules,
and I think it was like shortly after May, we just talked, went to Hayes, and I said, "Hey, can we get booked as a trio? We want to be together as a tag."
And then coincidentally enough, you and I were also booked as friends on TV, so we'd come out and have random tag matches with each other, like that Battle Royal. You know, we ended up doing some collaborative stuff. So
in Tampa.
Yeah. So that bond was already.
But that's only because we shoehorned it. Thanks to Mike, we talked to Mike and say, how can we get this idea together? And we know a lot of times on WWE TV, if you can find a way to put something on TV, we can go the next week in the meeting and say, hey, well, they were together. They were a tag team. So we're like, at least let's get me and Kofi off the ground. And I think it started where I had a match with Cesaro. Cesaro beat me up. And then you cut a promo, like one of those box promos. Yeah. And you talked about my friend Big E. How dare you beat up my friend Big E? And that was before we started tagging. So it was just us. It was these weekly struggles and fights to not build this whole faction, but let's take one step.
Yeah.
Let's build a connection between me and Kofi, and then we can eventually get to the three of us. So it was these little micro battles on a weekly basis of let's just find a way to get this one line about Big E being my friend into a Kofi promo. And then the next week we can say, hey, he said this. Now they can tag together. So it was just these little fights every single week for months and months and months. And sometimes we won, sometimes we got the opportunity, and then sometimes we had stuff shut down. We had to go back to the drawing board. But that process, however long that was, of half a year or longer of pitching.
Yo, at theater.
Oh, God, man.
I thought
this
about
is,
that.
This is going to end up being 5 hours thinking about all the things. You're right, but that was at theater was a huge. Big part
That's
of our
huge.
Connection.
Huge. That is the only... Okay, so... Before New Day even started, before the idea of the three of us even started to come to be, I would do stuff on .com. So at the time, they had that second screen thing where you could be in the app watching the second screen, like during commercials and stuff like that, and just like throughout the show. And so many times, for months, I feel like I'd always be at .com because I'm always was on the shows. So I was like, I want to do something. So I'd go and like interview people. I'd just talk about the show, do whatever I could to be on some form of WWE programming. Mm. And so then eventually, once we started doing all this, and that's when we started doing skits. So if you go back, there's one where we're in a hallway with Saxton. Because we're not a team yet at that point. We're starting to interact with people. We would do like old promos from back in the day as those characters. E and I did Goldberg's entrance because Goldberg was coming back. So like I'm wearing a security shirt playing Goldberg's music as we're walking through. Were you Big Show and I was Big Boss Man?
You were Big Boss Man.
I was definitely
you
Big
were,
Boss
you
Man.
You were Big Boss Man, yeah.
We did the promo where Big Boss Man took Big Show's dad's corpse in a casket. Wah, my daddy, wah. Yeah. So there's so many, there's more
so
things.
So many.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on our time. We are being told to wrap it up because we talk too much and we have been given...
The deep squat. Emilio came over in a real deep squat. He came over like in a deep catcher. Squat. That was the sign that we're done, that he wants us to move on. He was...
Look at him, look at him.
Get low.
That's the wrap up sign.
Wow.
He's saying wrap it up.
Make sure you follow us on our socials. Mine being at Xavier Woods PhD on Twitter and Instagram. And you can use the hashtag New Day Pod to talk about what you're hearing in your ear holes right now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at WWE Big E on Instagram and on Twitter. But per usual, I don't need your follows. You think I need you to follow me? You think I need that? You think I lay awake rolling around at night, tossing and turning about your lack of follow? No, I don't need it. And per usual, if you follow me, unfollow me. Because I don't appreciate you. I don't appreciate you. Cope?
See, I should have gone second. You can't follow me if you choose to at True Kofi on the Twitter and at The True Kofi on Instagram.
And a little more from me. Check me out at Up Up Down Down Without Views. And if you want to give some love to this podcast, he gonna tell you something.
Choose your preferred streaming service. How you like to hear the sweet, dulcet tones of our voice. Mm. Yeah, hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. How many stars is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give your boy 5 stars on Apple Podcasts to help get the word out.
And if you got an Android, you can follow the New Day Feel the Power on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google Podcasts. That way, you never miss an episode.
Don't miss one.
Keep on listening, because next time, what we have for you is a gift. You want to tell them what that gift is, E?
Oh, it is the list of names. I believe we have over 60 potential names that we were given prior to being called the New Day. We didn't know what we wanted to be called. And The Office, in their infinite wisdom, came up with a list of just doozies. Mm. I remember the first time getting these lists. There's two separate lists. And boy.
You know what? You know what? As a little teaser, can we give them two names?
Two names from the list?
Give them two names.
Do we?
Names.
Shall we?
Should we?
Two names from the list.
I don't want to give away the best ones now.
One.
You pick one and Kofi pick one.
Okay, I'll pick one. The Beat. B-E-A-T.
Like that song?
Come on, man.
We got the V.
What are we doing? What are we doing? And number two, Million Man Ministry.
No, that's not
get
real.
Get out of here.
We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us.
On the new day.
Yeah, feel the power.
Yeah.
See you guys later.